I appreciate you joining us this morning. Pastor Taylor asked if I would cover the sermon this morning, and I was glad to do that. And if I can just be a little transparent with you as my church family, I'm tired this morning, y'all. I've been working at Walmart. Y'all know what Walmart's like, don't you? I've got a few nice customers. Some of y'all come see me and give me a little high five, a virtual high five. But a lot of folks just, they come in here kind of upset. And so it's been kind of a difficult week. But I'm glad to have had some rest time and to be with you this morning. And if you're joining us online and you haven't been following, I encourage you to go back and watch some of the messages from the previous weeks. And I encourage all of us here to go back and do that. If you don't get an opportunity to, if you're taking notes during worship service or you're not, you know, kind of following and engaging, go back and listen back to some of the messages and follow back on your notes. It's a good way to remember and to go back and recall, and maybe the Holy Spirit brings something new to light. So I want to encourage you to do that. We're in the Epiphany series right now, and we're working through that. And next Sunday, we'll have Transfiguration Sunday, and Pastor Taylor will preach the message that'll talk to us about Jesus kind of giving those last statements to the disciples and the followers. And so Pastor Taylor talked last week about Jesus being the healer and the way he touched and healed and the power that he's given us to be able to walk in that healing. And I hope if you were here last week, if you joined us last week, you have been thinking about that this week and dwelling on that. And I don't know about you. I shared last Sunday. I just felt the Holy Spirit of God in this house last Sunday. I felt the Lord moving in the service and the worship songs as Pastor Taylor was preaching. I thought he was going to turn into a camp meeting revivalist for a minute. And as he was preaching the truth of the Word of God, that we can be healed and we can be made whole. We don't have to walk around in defeat, and we don't have to walk around carrying burdens, that the Holy Spirit wants to reach down deep inside of us and heal those hurt places in us. I just felt the Holy Spirit moving in my heart to go back and revisit some places. And I've been doing that. I don't know what your walk with the Lord is, but I find myself many times needing to just kind of go back and remember where the Lord's brought me from. You know, there's an old gospel song. It says, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be and where would I go? And so I want to just remember sometimes what the Lord's done for me. I encourage you to do that. And sometimes when we remember what he's brought us through and what he's done for us and how he's healed us and brought healing to us, brought salvation to us, fixed situations. How many of you, the Lord's ever fixed a situation that you didn't know how you were going to get out of? Has anybody ever been there? I was there several times, and I get there a lot. And I have to just say, Lord, I messed it up again, and I need you to help me fix this. And so usually that requires me to humble myself and wait, which I don't like to do. I'm impatient and I don't like to wait. So the Lord's showing me a lot of things that I need to fix. And I'm praying today he'll do that for us. If you've got your Bible, I want to encourage you to take your Bible, whether it's an old leather bound or whatever your Bible is, an electronic Bible, if it's on an iPad or on your phone, I encourage you to take your Bible this morning. We're going to be looking in the Gospel of Mark again, Mark chapter 1. And here in the house at Mount Olive Road, if you don't mind, if you care to stand, if you're able to do that for the reading of the Word, if you don't care to do that, if you're not able, no worries, no pressures. But if you can stand and would like to do that for the reading of the Word, I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to be reading from Mark chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 14. The Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." I'm reading from the ESV version if it looks a little different on your screen. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." The CSB there says, "I will make you fish for people." I like that. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Before we dive into the message this morning, I just want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide my words and to be with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for all the Old Testament and New Testament, the way that Jesus is woven throughout the scripture. And so this morning, as we hear your word and read your word, study from your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would stir in us a renewed zeal, a renewed passion, a renewed desire to follow Jesus. And in our lives, in this time, in this age we live, to be the hands and feet of Jesus and the Spirit of Christ to those that you bring into our lives. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The key passage in this, or the key verses in this passage that I want to look at a little bit today as we talk about the call and the response of Christ, his call on our lives to become disciples, we'll focus on verses 16 through 18. As he had passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting their nets in the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. I want to kind of talk to us a little bit today about the word disciple, becoming a disciple. If you're on social media at all, you know you've got the little follow button that you can click or unclick, and you got the like button you can like or unlike. And today I want to kind of ask you figuratively in your mind to just kind of click the follow button. I want to ask you to follow Christ. And later on, we're going to see where Paul suggests in Scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. And I want to talk about that today as we talk about discipleship. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word disciple as one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, such as, in Christianity, one of the 12 in the inner circle of Christ's followers, according to the gospel accounts, or a convinced adherent of a school or an individual. So the word disciple, as we see it in Scripture, usually brings to our mind those that immediately followed Jesus. And in this account in the Gospel of Mark, we see where Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee. He's already been introduced. He's been brought to the forefront by John the Baptist, the revealer, who is heralded. This is the one whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to tie. And so Jesus has been introduced as a Messiah. And the fascinating thing to me about the life of Jesus that we see in the Gospels is that, you know, Jesus is born of Virgin Mary, and that's an immaculate conception, and he's been prophesied of, and there's the birth in Bethlehem, and the star, and the Magi, and all that we've talked about for a few weeks in Christmas season and Advent. And now we fast forward a little bit, and then Scripture gives us one little account of him teaching in the temple at 12 years old and amazing the synagogue teachers. And then we sort of fast forward from that, and now we see him coming on the scene to begin to make disciples. And there's not enough time today to get into the history of it. I'll leave you to do your own study. But as we all know, with all the prophecies about Messiah and about Jesus coming, there was this perception, there was this understanding on the part of the Jews that hopefully this Messiah would come and be a dominating force and come in with guns blazing and swords drawn and spears and take over and once again free us from this terrible, wicked crown that we've been dominated by. And Jesus didn't come on the scene that way, right? He came as a baby in a manger, and he lived among the people, and he learned from even his earthly father, Joseph, how to be a carpenter and work with his hands and build things. And I believe he learned from his mother, Mary, how to care for those that maybe others didn't care for. I believe Jesus was a perfect example in his life of how to see the unseen people and how to reach out and touch the untouchable people. And we see that come to fruition in his ministry as he comes on the scene and begins to make disciples. And so the first account we see here in Mark is where he's encountered these fishermen, Simon and Andrew. They're on the boat drawing the nets. And if you have ever lived around or been around the Gulf Coast, we grew up down on the Gulf Coast, and it was very common in our surroundings down there to see shrimp boats and fishing boats, and we had neighbors even in our, remember when we were being raised there on Bel Air Street in Pascagoula, Mississippi. For all you Pascagoula folks, you'll know this. We had a neighbor that had a big giant shrimp boat in his backyard, and he'd work on that thing and clean his nets and get his nets fixed, and then he'd take it down to the boat launch and launch it out. And then we had a lot of shipbuilding with Ingalls Shipbuilding going on. So I see images when I read this passage of Simon and Andrew on their fishing boat preparing their nets. I see a lot of images of men and women in the fishing industry and the shrimping industry that I grew up around down on the coast. And it makes me think about those people. And if you've ever been around a good old salty Gulf fisherman, you know you're dealing with a pretty brawny individual. They don't put up with a whole lot. They are hardworking, bold fishermen and fisherwomen, and they know how to bring in the catch, and they know how to clean the fish. And if you've ever been to a fish festival of any kind, you've ever been to any of those kind of celebrations, it's just one big giant mess. But the outcome, once the fish are caught, once they're clean, once they're prepared, man, don't they taste good? I mean, there's hardly anything in the world like a good old slab of catfish or brim or trout, or I'm getting hungry thinking about it. I better stop. My goodness, big old jumbo shrimp and crawfish now, you know, that new Cajun cuisine. So I think about those images I saw in my childhood growing up on the Gulf Coast when I hear the words of Jesus, hey, take up your nets, leave your nets rather, and follow me. Why would Jesus go to that sort of people to call them to follow him? Now think about it. If Jesus knew if he was gonna come and take over, why would he go to those who were really in that industry, that fishing? They were not of much caliber in society. They were not the higher class folks, maybe. Hardworking, honest, salt of the earth people, but maybe not the higher class folks. He certainly didn't go after the folks who were the money folks. I mean, we know Matthew, the tax collector lately, and of course folks, you know, hated him, despised him because of his position. But Jesus didn't, in his life, as he called disciples to himself, he didn't go call on the rich and the famous and the powerful, did he? He came to folks like me and like you, and he came to the common folks. And so we see in this first scripture where Jesus goes and he calls Simon and Andrew, and then he goes a little farther in verse 18, 19. He went a little further. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending nets, and he immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee to follow Jesus. So the fascinating thing in this little passage is that these men who had been making their living on boats, fishing for big catches, laid their nets down to follow him. And of course, we see as the Gospels play out all the different accounts and the miracles that they saw, the things they learned. And as we see Jesus laying out to his disciples his purpose and his plan, we realize very quickly he didn't come to take over with sword and guns and dominating force. He came to serve. He came to love and to touch. And so the call on our lives as disciples today is not to join some regime that is going to dominate the earth in power and in might. In fact, Scripture says that it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, that I'm going to do what I do. So that's a little bit of a disconnect for some of us. We want to know who's got the power. There was a pop song out there years ago, "Who's Got the Power?" Well, the Holy Spirit will present us with the power, as we learned last week, if we'll follow Jesus. So I want to point out a few things about Jesus this morning that hopefully will cause us to, if we haven't already, and I believe many of us in this house at Grace Point are followers of Christ, disciples. Many of you watching today online may already be a disciple and a follower, but I want to encourage us to think about what it means to follow Christ and to answer the call, and how we can help others to answer the call and to see the reason and the purpose and the mission for following Christ. Number one, we've called this Epiphany series Jesus Who. We've asked the question, who is he? Who does he think he is? And who is he going to manifest himself to be? And who is he going to prove himself to be? Well, number one, I want us to think about that Jesus, as he begins his earthly ministry, Jesus knows himself. There's that old proverb that says, know thyself. Jesus knows who he is. He knows why he's here. He's known since birth on this earth why he's here. And of course, if you adhere to the sovereignty of God doctrine, and I do, I believe that in the heavenlies, in eternity past, at Genesis 1, pre-Genesis 1, I believe Jesus the Son knew, he foreknew what he needed to do to come here to become the Savior of the universe. So he knows himself. He's born a Nazarene. He's the son of a middle-class carpenter and a homemaker mom. He grew up and played and worked alongside his people where he grew up. And I want you to think about that for a minute. Jesus is not calling us to some unfathomable task that we can't perform. He's not calling us to be somebody we're not. In fact, I would assert that Jesus wants you to be exactly who you are, warts and all. I think Jesus is calling us today in his church especially to just, we've heard it said now for a couple of decades, just get real. Can we just get real? You know, Bob, I'm not the greatest singer or preacher, but I've had an experience with the Holy Spirit, and I know what Jesus has done in my life. And so I don't have to stand and try to out-preach Brother Taylor or out-preach you or any great evangelist. I can just be me. Isn't that an awesome thing to just be able to be who I am? And I love, as I get to know you, Grace Point, watching the different gifts and graces that God's given us, I love watching every one of you just be yourself and operate in your gifts and in your graces and let Jesus be Jesus in you in the gifts and the graces he's given you and called you to operate in. Isn't that beautiful to see that play out in the body of Christ? So Jesus knows himself. And if we can understand that because Jesus knows himself, we can know ourselves. We can look inside and know, no matter what family we were born into, no matter where we were born or how much money or how little money we may have or what position in life we may have, Jesus knows you. The old gospel song says, Jesus knows all about our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He knows us. He knows himself. He knows you. Jesus also, number two, he knows Old Testament prophecy. He knew what had been prophesied about a Messiah that was to come. A Messiah will come, it says in Isaiah. A forerunner will reveal him, John the Baptist. We saw that in the message about John the Baptist. The Spirit will ordain and authorize him. We saw that at the baptism. When John baptized him, a voice from heaven came down. They saw what was as a spirit or a dove. So Jesus knows the prophecies about himself. He knows himself. He knows the Old Testament prophecies. And then thirdly, I want to say to us, Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses. Jesus, I believe, knew before you called on him to save you what your weaknesses were. I like what I heard one Bible teacher say this week as I was listening to their sermon, their topics. I'm so glad I learned that Jesus didn't save me because he felt sorry for me, but that he saw me and he knew me and he delighted in me and he wanted me. And he, John 3:16, God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever, me, if I would call on the name of the Lord, I'd be saved. I'm so glad Jesus didn't save me or save you today because he felt sorry for us. I'm so glad Jesus saves us today and he calls us because he sees us and he knows us and he knows the mission and the purpose he's called us to. And he knows who he intends for us to reach as witnesses for him. There's a plan that he has for our lives. So because Jesus is fully aware and confident in his identity, in his calling, and in his mission, fully God, fully man, well then he is authorized by the Father to fulfill his calling on earth. He's recognized by the prophets, and he's empowered by the Spirit of God to go and to begin to touch and to reach people, just like he's going to call us to reach people. Jesus lived simply in the flesh what the Father had ordained before the foundation of the world. Jesus said many times in Scripture, all I'm doing is what the Father sent me here to do. So all these things you see me doing are just things that the Father sent me here to do. Touching the blind, touching the lepers, going to the people that that society has said are not worth touching, not worth healing, not worth reaching. Jesus goes to the people that society might not have accepted and embraced. Following Jesus requires humility, faith, and courage. I would say this today to us as believers that are following Christ and to anyone who's considering hearing the gospel of Jesus, accepting the fact that he is the Lord and the Savior of the universe, letting him become the Savior of your life and the Lord of your life. Becoming a Christian and a follower of Christ will not be the easiest thing you've ever done in life. It'll make you feel good for a minute. The Holy Spirit will come in and you'll rejoice and we'll be glad and rejoice with you. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice when one lost soul comes to salvation. But I'll promise you, to walk with Christ and to walk for Christ on this earth will be one of the most difficult things you'll do in this life. So I don't want to sugarcoat it and candy coat it. It'll be one of the most difficult things you'll do, but it will be the most rewarding thing you'll ever do in your life, no matter what your role in life, no matter what your place in society. So following is going to require of us humility, humble yourself before the Lord, faith. You're going to have to choose to have faith in things you don't understand and that you can't see. And it's going to require courage. You're going to have to find the courage sometimes to take a stand for Christ and to make a stand for Christ. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but you're going to be confronted with those who don't love Jesus and don't love the church. And you're going to have to make a decision, just like Peter had to at that point where he had to decide, am I going to acknowledge him or deny him? And sometimes we'll fail, we'll mess up, and we'll be afraid to accept, to follow him and to be an example. You'll never lead, I heard this by one of the great Bible teachers I listened to, you will never lead if you're not first willing to follow. So if you want to be a leader for Christ in the church, you're going to have to choose to learn how to follow first. You're going to have to follow him. And then you're going to need to do what Paul said in Scripture in 1 Corinthians. Paul said, follow me or imitate me as I follow Christ. So as we grow in our walk with Christ, we're gonna need to learn how to follow those who are mature in the faith and who have done the time and who have experienced some things in Christ. So if you're a brand new baby Christian, you've just come to Christ, I want to encourage you, it's going to get better. There'll be brighter days. You will learn how to walk in faith. You will learn how to walk in courage. I love the way Brother Taylor's been, Pastor Taylor's been sharing some little personal testimony in some of his messages, and I want to share briefly with you. You know, the Bible says if we're going to follow Christ, he later on in the book of Acts, we see after all the things he does in his life, he tells the disciples and the followers to go to the upper room and to wait. And we'll get into that as we go through Lent and resurrection and then talk about Pentecost in the summer. We'll move into that. I want to share with you briefly. I remember as a child growing up with mom and our little family singing gospel music all over the South. We'd travel the Gulf Coast area and come up into the Alabamas and Georgias, and we'd sing all over. Had a wonderful, wonderful childhood being around church folks and being in the church. And I remember at about 7 years old praying a prayer, a get out of hell free card prayer. You know, I was at revival, and I was in Sunday school, and Sunday school teacher was teaching about the difference between heaven and hell. And, you know, you had the guy in hell that was reaching up for some, you know, just if somebody touched the tip of his tongue. You had heaven and all the beauties of heaven. And it was a real simple close. You know, Miss Rute just said, so would you rather go to heaven or would you rather go to hell? Well, at 7 years old, that picture made a whole lot of sense. I'd rather go to heaven, the pretty place. So I prayed the get out of hell free card prayer, you know, and I think I'm in it. And I believe the Holy Spirit was moving through Miss Rute. And I believe with all my heart, I prayed a prayer of sincerity. And I believe the Lord very likely sealed my salvation and sanctified my salvation at that moment. We call it prevenient grace. I think the grace of God moved into my little heart, calling me and wooing me and drawing me to the Lord. But then as time rolled by, we sang gospel music all over the place, saw hundreds of people getting saved and had great revival services. I remember about 16 or 17 years old in high school, having, you know, gone through high school band and enjoying all that. I remember that my mouth started getting me in trouble. and words started coming out of my mouth that didn't sound like Jesus. And my mama had to calm me down more often. And then I found myself dealing with anger that I didn't understand where it was coming from. And I was getting angry about things that I shouldn't have been getting angry about. I should have been a little more patient and waited. And I remember when I married Cheryl and we began to have our kids, I just began to struggle with certain little issues in my life. And I realized, well, I might be saved. And I prayed another prayer when I was 17 years old in a revival service with one of our dear friends, Brother Harold Latham, in heaven now. And I went to mom and dad and I said, would you pray with me? And they prayed with me. We walked back through that Roman road of salvation and prayed all the prayers, said all the scriptures. And I prayed again, maybe a, you know, this time not a get out of hell free card kind of prayer, but a sincere, tears wet in the carpet, Jesus, I can't do this and I don't know what's wrong with me and I need you to save me. Something's wrong and I need to be fixed and I can't let it go. And the gospel songs didn't tickle the fancy anymore down in my heart. There was this itching down in my soul that something wasn't right. So I prayed that prayer that night with mom and dad, and then the Lord started moving in my heart and stirring me. And I remember in high school getting invited to a party in the neighborhood. You know, one of those little orientation parties. And I went, and it was a bunch of my buddies there. And it was dark, and it was at, you know, his house. So we were, you know, protected from much danger. But I got in the house, and I could smell the alcohol when I walked in. And there was girls everywhere that I didn't know was going to be there. I thought it was a guy party. And I remember one of my buddies handed me a can of beer. And I put it up to my mouth and smelled it, and it made me want to gag and throw up, and I couldn't drink it, you know. And I remember going to the bathroom and pouring that beer down the toilet and then putting it in the garbage can. And I remember saying, guys, I got to go. I don't feel good. And I remember walking home that night, and I cried my eyes out because I couldn't be one of them. Something in my spirit just wouldn't let me be one of them. Now, I love these guys. These are some of my best friends in life. But I realized that night, I can't do this. And it wasn't anything about being unholy because you're drinking beer. It was just that I was in the wrong place for that night. The Holy Spirit in me wouldn't let me be content to be in that place. And it embarrassed me and it humiliated me. But I realized on that little walk home that night, you got to decide. Robbie, you got to make a decision. You going to live for the Lord or you going to live for you? And so that was one of the first episodes. And then we fast forward, we went along and Cheryl and I married, had kids. I've shared with the worship team and our ministry team. We got to enjoy some of the most unbelievable regional revivals that I've ever been a part of in my life. I'm talking about churches blowing out the seams, people getting saved left and right, having church 4 and 5 hours a night. I know we're not going to do that here at Grace Point, but I'm talking about just Holy Ghost, old-fashioned revival. And I had not seen that since I was a kid. So the Lord let me experience that, and I saw that. And I remember one night, I don't know why, I was trying to remember the trip, but I was driving my dad's old F-150 that he left me, and I was coming back from up here for some reason. I don't know if I'd been to Nashville to see my brothers, but I was coming back down I-65, and I had a cassette tape. I'll tell you about when this was. I had a cassette tape in the truck of the Brownsville Revival from Pensacola, Florida, and Lyndall Cooley was singing, you know, all the, you know, look what the Lord has done, all the Holy Ghost songs. And then I remember a song coming on the cassette that was just a prayer song. We've sung it here. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. And I remember driving along I-65 somewhere south of Montgomery, and there's a big old rest stop down there south of Montgomery going south, and I remember pulling in that rest stop, and I just boo-hooed like a baby. I mean, the Holy Ghost just tore me up. And I cried, and I cried, I'll go there with you because you're my church family. I think I'm safe to go there with you. But in good Wesleyan holiness tradition, I'll say, I began to feel the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming over me. And I had an experience with the Holy Ghost for about 25 minutes in that pickup truck at the rest stop on I-65 south of Montgomery. And if anybody had walked up to me, they'd have thought I was crazy. I'm talking about Acts chapter 2 crazy. But I was being filled and sanctified and filled again with the Holy Spirit. And I had an experience I'll never, ever forget. And that night, I began to realize I was exhausted in my life. I was kind of burned out a little bit on ministry. My family was going through some really difficult times. And I was empty. And I've heard so many great preacher friends of mine talk about, you know, experiencing God and getting to that place of burnout where they just needed to get renewed. And I was there. So I began to pray, Lord, I want more. I need you more, Lord. I need more of you. So to follow Christ for me from that point meant, Robbie, you don't get the privilege of choosing casual Christianity anymore. You don't get to put, I'm a Christian, on your resume and hope that'll get you a better job just because you believe in Jesus. You don't get the privilege to just attend church when you want to attend church and check the block and call it Christian. You don't get that privilege anymore. If you want to follow me, the Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to have to go deeper. You're going to have to want more. And if you want more, I'll give you more. But you've got to follow me. You got to go where I ask you to go. And so I began doing that. And if I can be honest with you today, it's been one of the most difficult journeys in my life, but it's been the most rewarding experience in my life. I've been able to see the Lord do some things that I would never imagine he could have done. And some of you could probably testify to that same thing this morning. And so I want to say to us, Grace Point Church, this morning, if you're in a place where you're wondering, is Jesus really real? Is this pandemic ever going to be over? Is the political mess we're in ever going to get fixed? And bring it on closer down to home. Lord, do you see my family going through the junk we're going through? We just shared this morning some prayer requests and worship team about families in our community that have been just devastated by this tornado. One more time. I know there's a terrible tornado came through back in 08, I think it was, maybe 04. And we went through Katrina down on the Gulf Coast in 2005. And sometimes when you're going through tragedy like that, you just say, Lord, are you even there? And so to follow Christ today for some of us is going to mean I've got to make a decision one more time. Lord, I want more of you, and I'm going to follow you wherever you say go. And Jesus, I want you to fill me one more time, baptize me one more time with your Holy Spirit and fill me. Ministry leaks. I think we said that a few weeks ago. If you go out and minister to people and give love away, you're going to get tired. You're going to get exhausted sometimes. You need to get refilled. And we do that by coming together every week and worship and singing together, praying for one another, and ever so often, just getting dunked by the Holy Ghost in a good old-fashioned revival service like I did, that I'm praying for, that the Lord would do again, however he chooses to do it. So today, to summarize and to close, this is my question of us this morning. Will we believe and confess Jesus as the Messiah? If we've not done that already, if you don't know Jesus today as Messiah, as Christ, as Lord of your life, will you choose him today? Will you just simply admit, I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior, and I cannot save myself, as worship team comes. I confess my sin, Lord, and I'll receive your free gift of salvation. Would you confess that today? Would you accept the call of Christ on your life to imitate him? Would you, like millions who've gone before us, would you follow Christ in the call of the Savior and lay aside every weight, every baggage, every hindrance? Would you, I kind of hashtag this in my notes for all of our social media folks, would you unfollow the things that are distracting you so that you can hashtag follow him? And that might mean we're going to need to fast. We're coming up on Lent season. Hey, social media folks, we're so glad you're joining us this morning. But you know what some of us need to do? Some of us need to fast our social media time. We need to manage our social media time better. We need to get off of Facebook and get off of Instagram and get off of Snapchat and just go sit down with one another over a coffee or a tea and just love one another. I know social distancing and masking is important and we need to do all that. Somebody just needs to make a phone call this week. Somebody just needs to call a friend you haven't talked to in a while. Call a loved one, a family member, and just say, hey, I've been thinking about you. How you doing? I'm just checking up on you. I just want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. And then thirdly and finally, as Jesus promised, we need to be willing. If we're going to be Christ followers here at Grace Point like the Lord wants us to be, I believe we need to accept the challenge to receive that baptism in His power, in the Holy Spirit, and be filled daily. Let Him provide us daily with the power, with the grace, with the mercy to imitate Christ. That happens through the disciplines we talk about a lot in our Methodist doctrine. To pray and meditate on the Lord, to fellowship with one another, with believers, to choose to serve others rather than always feel like we've got to be served. If we'll do that, the Holy Spirit will give us the discipline and the confidence to follow Christ when life's distractions are luring us away from Him. I think about lures, going back to the fishermen on the beach there where Jesus calls Simon and Andrew. What lure are you putting on your hook today? If you're a fisherman and you understand fishing, what are you putting out that would cause others to be lured to want to know what you know about Jesus? Are you putting out kind words? Are you putting out kind attitudes? Are you putting out grace and mercy when you go to Walmart, as frustrating as that can be? Are you standing in line patiently? Are you looking at folks around you? Are you saying, hey, how you doing today? Is everything okay? Are you willing to maybe drive through Chick-fil-A and pay it forward? Pay for the meal behind you? I heard one Chick-fil-A had that happen, and about 300 customers got their meals paid for by the person in front of them. Could we just commit random acts of kindness as the body of Christ? Could we begin to do that more? I believe if we'll choose to follow Jesus and to put on our hook a lure that will cause people to want to know more. Hey, what are y'all doing down there at Grace Point? Hey, what are you doing? How do you get through life as a Christian? How are you doing that? I believe the Lord will give us the grace to do it. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing together. As we pray, if you're able to stand, you can stand if you'd like. And we're going to sing a song of prayer to the Lord that we want to decide today to follow Jesus. So as you stand and prepare to pray this prayer song, I want to ask, if you're watching online, even if you will choose today to follow Jesus and not turn back from that. Be filled daily by His Holy Spirit and listen to His Holy Spirit.